The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
How are we doing, Chiefs Kingdom? And welcome to another episode, the fourth episode of the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, Brad Simcox, and Arrow Headlines editor, Tom Childs again. How are we doing, bud?
I'm doing well. Back here sooner than we thought we were going to be. Weekly. So yeah, I'm very, very well. How are you?
I'm very good, mate. When you gave me the news that we were no longer a monthly show, we're now going to be a weekly show every Saturday. We're going to be on the podcast recording. And I've got to say, we needed it. I'm sure we needed this because me and you, every time we've done a monthly show, it's like, oh God, we've got to wait for another month. And then we've got to like see all this news headlines coming up about the Chiefs that we can't talk about. And everybody else is talking about it. We've got a month to wait.
It's old news by the time we get to it as well. Yeah, no, it's good. It's good. Like the pressure's on us now because a weekly show means we've got to produce a weekly podcast in the deadest part of the NFL calendar. So good luck to us.
Yeah, no pressure.
Weeks or so. Yeah,
no pressure at all. You know, fill the airtime with not much Chiefs news coming through at the moment. Well, other than that, we obviously had the draft recently, and I know the Chiefs have been signing some undrafted free agents, but like you say, there's not going to be much leading up to the preseason, is there, where there's going to
be... Maybe we can do like a Eurovision podcast in 2 weeks' time. We can do a Euro 2020 podcast. We can do all sorts. Is there any films coming out soon? Maybe we can go venture off that way. I don't know.
Yeah, there's some movies.
Maybe if Patrick Mahomes releases a workout video, we can like dissect it frame by frame, you know, see how he's doing. I'm sure there's plenty of things we can keep ourselves occupied for the next 6-7 weeks before...
I suppose we could have like a Mahomes-led KC Royals kind of segment on it. I mean, I don't know anything about baseball, but, you know, Mahomes is very much involved in KC Royals. So,
do you know what Mahomes might actually be involved in?
What?
I saw it today. There was a racehorse today in the UK, the 1720 at Ripon, and the horse was called Showtime Mahomes. That is phenomenal. Like there's a horse in the UK which is famous amongst Chiefs fans because it's called the Kansas City Chief. And every time it runs, someone always posts to Arrowheads Abroad about this horse that's going to run. Yeah. And every single time, every single Chiefs fans whacks money on this horse, and it never wins. It never gets anywhere near the top runners. But this horse today, Showtime Mahomes, 20-1 it was. So. Mm-hmm. Far from a favorite. So to our American viewers or listeners, I think that's what, plus 2,000 to you guys over there. So it's they weren't big favorites by any means, but he finished second.
He did all right. He beat the favorite.
Right. He done all right. I should imagine they didn't win because he tried something stupid like, I don't know, a no-look jump or something. You know, at one point, the horse just stood up and started dusting itself down, giving it like the biceps and stuff like that.
No look jump. Yeah. Oh man. That would have been fun. But I never watch horse racing, but I know some of the lads that we know are big into it. And when they said that Showtime Mahomes was running, we all had to see out where it finished, didn't we?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but finished second, which is not bad. And it beat the favourites. So.
Last year.
Oh, don't bring that up, please. Anyway, we've got a packed show because it's actually a longer show as well with these weekly podcasts. So it's great for the listeners. It's more effort for us to put in as well, isn't it? More stuff to talk about.
It's a privilege. It's a privilege.
It is a privilege. It is a privilege. And me and Tom can talk for England anyway. So, but yeah, we're going to be talking about obviously the draft and our favorite draft picks. We're not going to go in depth, obviously, into each individual draft pick, but we're going to give you our favorite ones. And if you've been following Tom on Twitter, I think you already know who his favorite is already anyway, because he's been writing about him ever since. But yeah, so once we've done that, I'll also be treating Tom to a bit of a nickname session. Now, people obviously know that we kind of came up with the Legion of Zoom nickname, didn't we?
You did. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to be going through what I'm going to be nicknaming the O-line this year. And I've got some suggestions, but I want the listeners to actually choose one, and hopefully this one can actually take off as well. But anyway, we'll get to that in a minute. Also, we'll be chatting about the primetime schedule, or the NFL schedule, the Chiefs schedule that's coming out. We'll be looking at trying to guess the primetime games that will be coming up for the Chiefs. And we'll have a bit on the whereabouts of Aaron Rodgers and the very strong link that he could be going to the Denver Broncos. So, but anyway, let's go back and let's reminisce about the draft, because this draft, this Chiefs draft, has been getting a lot of praise.
Yeah,
and a lot of praise from pundits that you wouldn't expect to give
Chiefs. Bayless by any chance?
Eh?
Skip Bayless by any chance?
Skip Bayless changed his tune massively. He loved the Chiefs draft, and as we all do. And he obviously gave his thoughts on it, but we wanted to give you our personal favorites out of these these Chiefs players, these new shiny Chiefs that we've got. Do you want to go first, mate, with your, because everybody knows who yours is because you've been writing about him.
Yeah. For those of you that didn't see my article on Arrowhead Pride earlier this week and who don't follow me, you'll be pleased to learn that my favorite draft pick was Cornell Powell, the wide receiver from Clemson. I went back and watched some film now, and I am no way in hell a film guru, okay? But comfortable with watching any position, it tends to be pass catchers. And that's like where I'm in my comfort zone. And I thought, I'll leave Noah Gray to someone else. I'll watch Cornell Powell. And when I turned it up the tape on, I watched a couple of games all the way through. The first thing I noticed was that he was making plays that we don't see receivers tend to make in this offense. Like, we've seen flashes of the physical wide receiver play, some like Byron Pringle. We saw a play from Pringle where I think it was against the Lions a couple of years ago when he caught the ball on a crossing route and he got bounced around by like several Lions defenders and somehow they
still kept
onto the ball. Yeah. And I saw a couple of plays like that from Cornell Powell. We obviously saw the deep routes that we saw, like, for example, like Sammy Watkins ran against the Titans. We saw that type of route. We just saw a mixture of everything that will offer something different to what Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce offers. He's more of the traditional X-type receiver, but I have to kind of control my excitement when it comes to it, because he is a fourth-round pick, and there were several wide receivers taken before him. So I'm trying to like keep my excitement down, because he could be the answer. But he has a really stacked wide receiver room to get through first. You've got DeMarcus Robinson, Mecole Hardman, Byron Pringle. Then you've got Tarjay Sharpe, Antonio Callaway, all of these guys that they're bringing in to create a competition. So it's going to be stacked against him to get onto the field first and foremost, because he is a rookie wide receiver in Andy Reid's system. And the other reason for me to hold him back excitement is a certain receiver we drafted a few years ago in Jehu Chesson. Because when we drafted him, I remember the excitement around him. And then what did he do for the Chiefs? Yeah, he was a good special teamer, but in terms of making it onto the field as a receiver, there was absolutely nothing from him. So part of me is like, yes, we've got the answer at X receiver. Next year, when DeMarcus Robinson does eventually leave the Chiefs, because it will happen one day, he can be the guy to step in. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if all his career turns out to be is to be a special teamer that gets on for 15% of the snaps on offense and makes a play here and then and disappears, because that's pretty much what his career was in the first 4 years at Clemson. It wasn't until his fifth year that he really started producing. And when he did get onto the field this year, he produced. And it's not like he was producing with Trevor Lawrence. His two biggest games outside of the college playoffs were without Trevor Lawrence at quarterback. So he can produce with subpar, well, not subpar quarterback play, but less quarterback.
Backup,
obviously. And he's very fortunate as well, because he's going to a quarterback that will sling him the rock. If he's open, not even if he's open, to be honest, if he's there, he will get the ball thrown to him.
If he's on the field, he'll get it.
He's definitely a favourable position for him, and I hope that it really works for him. But I'm trying to temper my excitement just a little bit until we see something tangible in Andy Reid's offense in the first few weeks of the season.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think we all got quite excited by the pick, because we were all desperate. We all thought the Chiefs were going to select a wide receiver at the second round, didn't we? And as we were going, obviously, further into the rounds, I think a lot of us were thinking it's probably just not going to happen now. We're not going to pick anybody up who's a wide receiver. But then, you know, to get somebody like him, and I agree with you. I looked at the film afterwards, and I liked him. He seemed like a good presence in that team. And
he has a horrible tendency, though. Not a horrible tendency, because that's not me being unfair on him. But one thing I saw a few too many times of him, which I didn't like, was body catches. Using the hands. And like when he did use the hands, it was a hand catch, tuck it, play the have the physical play. Just that one thing that I saw a few times, I thought that needs to stop, because catching with your body is a dangerous game, because if you don't catch it, that thing's rebounding anywhere. And they can be popped up. It happened to me when I played my amateur level once before. I tried a body catch, completely missed the ball, ball popped up and it went for a pick six. So I've been there, I've seen it myself. I've been victim of it. I've been that guy. So that's the only tendency that I saw that I really didn't like.
So from your experience coaching him, you would
not that he should, no, I wouldn't say coaching him, Brad, because he should not take lessons from me.
Are you listening, Brett? Tom's offering to coach Cornell Powell.
Imagine. Yeah. Arrowhead Pride. I've outgrown Arrowhead Pride now. I've been doing these podcasts. This is episode 4. I'm done. I now need to go and coach for the Chiefs. I'm going to be the new wide receivers coach for Kansas City. Hire me.
Well, I wish you luck, mate. I really do.
Thank you very much.
No, I agree. I like him as well. And I think you're right. The Chiefs fans really have to kind of suppress their excitement over it, because he is kind of like the shiny new wide receiver. And we did have that with Hardman as well, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we haven't really seen a lot from him yet. We've seen flashes, but not a lot from him yet. So hopefully it does pan out. His physicality is definitely something that I like a lot as well. Mm-hmm. So I agree with you. He seems to be a bit of a steal at the moment, especially in the round that he got. My favorite pick, I actually had two originally, because I was umming and ahhing between these two players. I just want them all, basically. But I really like the pick of Noah Gray. I really liked him, because the first highlight video I saw on YouTube, that's where I get all my footage from. As soon as I got that, I looked at him, I thought, he looks and moves just like Travis Kelce.
Yeah.
And I stupidly put on Twitter, Kelce 2.0.
Okay.
Right? Meaning that he was a carbon copy, not that he was the next level up from Travis Kelce. Now, I got a lot of abuse for saying Kelce 2.0. It was like, he's not better than Kelce. I was like, no, that's not what I meant.
The only thing that could have made it worse is like, Kelce, Mac 2, Noah Gray.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. So I should have said, he looks like a carbon copy of Travis Kelce, but still needs work, that kind of thing, you know. Mm. But I did like him, but my absolute favorite pick was Nick Bolton.
Yeah.
The way that guy can the speed of him to plug gaps and also call the plays as well. He seemed to be on the same level, the same, almost like telepathy with the other side of the ball with the offenses he was facing.
Yeah.
He just seemed to not get tied down with, like the guard pulling away or anything like that. He would really kind of focus in on what the play was happening. And
diagnoses it really quickly.
really good. Yeah, really effective. And he's got that quick speed straight away just to get to, you know, plug the gap that's needed or make a play that's needed. I think, I don't know what it is as well. It might just be the fact that it's the emotional side of it as well. I'm quite emotional about obviously the Chiefs and stuff, and listening to his story and everything he's gone through in his life. I think we've all seen that footage now, haven't we? Where he was talking about.
To be fair,
have you not seen that?
I haven't, and I'm sure some listeners haven't. Can you actually just enlighten me a little bit, please?
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically, it's about his. You know, obviously, you get the ones where he's been in high school and college career and all that kind of stuff. But it was about his sister getting cancer.
Oh, wow.
I think she had a brain tumor or something, I think it was. And it was touch and go whether she was going to survive because she was quite an athletic person.
Yeah.
And, you know, very outgoing, very fit, very happy-go-lucky person.
Mm-hmm.
And because she had this brain tumor, it was obviously affected her, obviously, you know, with the surgery that she's had.
Yeah.
And she couldn't do the things that she used to do, that she used to really enjoy.
Yeah.
And Nick Bolton kind of took that and thought, you know what? I'm going to be the best I can be on the field to make her proud, kind of take her on this journey with me. And it kind of, you know, it really kind of hits you in the feels. It really does.
Yeah, of course.
And you kind of connect with a player like that when you think that guy's got a reason to be on the field. He's got that heart. He's got that fight to be the best he can be.
And it's also,
now, fast forward.
Also another example, sorry to interrupt you.
Another example
of how sport can be almost like the perfect therapy for anything that is going on. It can be even as a spectator, just getting out of the norm to go and concentrate on something else. That can be playing, that could be watching, spectating, writing about it, talking about sport. It's just, I think it really goes undersaid, to be honest, that how important sport is in general to a lot of people. Like, people turn around and say, oh, like when Arsenal lose, when I was younger, I used to get really wound up when Arsenal lose. And my mum would always turn around to me and goes, it's only a game.
It's only a game.
No, it's not. It's not just a game. And for some people, it is much more than that. And clearly in Nick Bolton's case, it was not necessarily a break from the norm, but it was something that helped him almost get something positive about a very negative situation.
Exactly.
And he's clearly used sport for the better. And I'm sure his sister's immensely proud of what he's managed to achieve.
Exactly. Well, I mean, just touching on what you were saying there. Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, sport can be, can really contribute to your mental health. It really can.
Of course it can. I maintain this, sorry to go off on a little bit of a tangent, that gym memberships should be given out as prescriptions.
Exactly.
Because
I agree.
Because going out, like if you've got problems with mental health, just going out for half an hour and exercising or going to a gym and working out, you will, like, all the, like, I don't know, the chemicals, I don't know if it's endorphins or whatever it is, I don't know the science behind it, but it certainly does something for you. So I'll say this to anyone on listening to this podcast now, sorry to go heavy again, but if you're feeling low, go out, go for a run.
Yeah.
Go for a walk. Just
throw a ball around.
Watch a football game. Go, I don't know. Yeah, do anything, and you will feel better for sure.
Yeah, and I think it's proven recently as well that obviously with everything that was happening with COVID and, you know, the lockdowns that were happening and stuff like that, and sport was kind of, sporting events were being minimized at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it did kind of affect a few people because, you know, sport is a big thing in people's lives, and we get invested as fans in these sports. And we've been quite fortunate, obviously, that the NFL was continuing, and obviously the English Premier League over here, they were continuing as well, but obviously behind closed doors, weren't they? With no fans or anything, but we could still watch it on TV. And, you know, it kind of, sport can get you through the difficult times, like you said.
Of course it can.
And
Nick Bolton now he's channeled that, and now he's making a career, he's making a living and making his family's living much better for the rest of his days.
Exactly. There's a second part to this though, because as he was doing this and as he was being the player that he wanted to be to make his sister proud, his mum got cancer as well.
Oh no.
Yeah. Now they both survived, which is great. But obviously during that time, you just really don't know which way it's going to go.
No, of course.
And, you know, I think like you said, for his own mental health and his own kind of strength and being that strength for his family, he just found football. And for me, all the attributes aside, all the skills that he's got in playing the game, I think a lot of it, I think this pick really has been down to Brett Veach thinking this guy has got a reason.
Yeah.
He's got a big reason to be on that field and be a, you know, be a, hopefully one day a Super Bowl champion. You
Of course. And that's what you kind of expect out of linebackers anyway.
Exactly.
Like you want, like, think about DJ. DJ was an emotional guy.
He was.
Look at some of the other linebackers, like Luke Kuechly, for example. Okay, he's retired now, but like just big energy, big character guys. And I like the look of him. I do. Like, he's a run stuffer. Obviously, there are question marks about him in pass coverage, which isn't great in the modern day NFL, the 2021 version of football.
But that's coachable, though, isn't it?
Hopefully it's coachable. Hopefully it's coachable. But I look at the guys potentially the replacement for Anthony Hitchens. We don't know. The Chiefs do love Anthony Hitchens. They have gone under contract for two more years, but they've invested now heavily in the linebacker position. They've two second round picks in the last 2 years. So it's clearly a position that the Chiefs take very seriously. And hopefully in Bolton and Willie Gay, you've got most of that position sorted. Maybe not in 2021 because they're both still quite raw, but after that, they're good picks in the terms of building for the future, which was pretty much the theme for the whole draft.
Moving on into the draft as well, the Chiefs, clearly, a lot of fans were thinking that they were going to be going, you know, looking for some O-line talent in there as well, and they seem to get some absolute gems quite late as well, didn't they? You know, Creed Humphrey is, far as I'm aware, is the best center out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And the Chiefs managed to pick him up in what round was it? Was the fourth?
That was the second round. That was the
second round.
That was five picks after.
It was. I remember that now. So, you know, we've obviously got Creed Humphrey in there, which, you know, he's going to be an exceptional player from what we've seen. And he's looking at the Chiefs team now that they've managed to plug those gaps with the O-line. You've got some experience there as well. He's going to learn from. And it's going to be key for his development. I'm trying to, the name escapes me. The other one, Smith. Yeah. Trey Smith. Another one. Again, he's another player that has a reason to be on the field because he had them, you know, those issues that he had with blood clots and things like that in his college career. And again, he's got the fight, he's got the talent, he's got the belief in himself to prove everybody wrong. All those teams that passed on him, getting up to the sixth round, he's using that as ammunition.
Of course, he is.
I love that. That's what I love about these players that they've selected. They've got these players that have an emotional attachment to the game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's probably why that's really going to sort out the men from the boys, I think. I don't know what you think about that.
I don't know what to say to that, to be honest.
It's so emotional, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a highly emotional show. And you've basically turned around and said that any of the guys that get cut out of the 53 are basically children. So, if you want Brad's address, come see me. I'll let you know. No, let's have your nicknames. Let's line this up a little bit because we're being happier, guys. And that's enough heavy chat for us. I want to hear these nicknames.
Well, I mean, obviously the nickname that we were kind of famous for, let's say, kind of a big deal, was obviously the Legion of Zoom. That was the wide receiving core, wasn't it, for the Chiefs?
Yeah.
Now, I've got to tell you something, right? I don't know why I did this, but I did it. Somebody kept sitting there. Lots of people kept saying to me, why didn't you trademark the Legion of Zoom nickname?
No.
And I was like, well, you know, I just didn't really think that, you know, it was something I should do because I'm not planning on creating anything out of it or selling anything out of it, you know, that kind of thing, or making money out of it. I just don't know why I would want to do it. And it was one of those cold, rainy nights.
Is it like the night that I started Arrowheads Abroad when I was just sat at home, bored on my own? And I thought, I'm just going to make a Twitter account.
Yeah, cold, rainy night. I think it might have been December. And I was just thinking, do you know what? I should probably kind of look into the trademark kind of thing.
No.
So I started filling in the forms. and having a look, and I'm thinking, well, there's no other trademark out there with Legion of Zoom nickname on it. And I went ahead and did it. And I've now, in my hand, it's actually arrived today, the certificate trademark of Legion of Zoom.
No.
Really? You know what, do you know why I only got it for?
Why is that?
Just to frame it on the wall.
So, right, is this trademark worldwide? Is this just...
No, this is just UK.
Just UK. So you, in the UK, you are recognised as the owner of the term Legion of Zoom. Is that... So when you fill... I can't believe you've done this.
I'm the daddy of it, mate.
You filled out the form.
I've done the form and everything.
So unprofessional. So when you filled out the form, did you have to put details about the Chiefs in there?
Or did
No.
Just had to put on, obviously, the caption.
Yeah.
And you had to put... I think I had to put it in two different forms, one in lowercase and one in uppercase.
Okay.
And there was things that you to tick on there that you could, you know, if you wanted to sell it on, I don't know, merchandise or whatever, like I just put a few ticks. I only put about three ticks.
You can monetize the whole thing.
Everything. So basically, baby clothes.
What you're saying is that if the Chiefs do eventually come to London again to play a game, you're going to have them over a barrel if they decide to use the term Legion of Zoom.
I'll be stood there with my lawyer. Stood there in the commentary booth. Mitch Holthus, don't you say it. Don't you say it.
Yeah.
Say it, you owe me money. No, it doesn't go that far.
You know what? I think this might be the peak of this show. We could do this show for another year and that just might be the peak of the whole thing. I can't believe... Well, no, I can. I know you, Brad. I can believe you done that. I don't know how you have a wife. I really don't. How she hasn't left you, I do not know. But fair play. You now own Legion of Zoom term in the United Kingdom, which is... Excellent.
Anyway, that's a quid you owe me.
Let's hear these O-line names. Come on.
Right. Okay. So, yeah. So, obviously, the nickname. I came up with some ideas. I've just been jotting a few down, right? Because I thought this shiny new O-line, it needs bigging up. Because this is probably one of the best-looking O-lines that we've had in a long time.
Yeah.
We mentioned that in the last show, didn't we, about... Waters and Shields and everybody like that. You know, that O-line was magnificent. But so I jotted a few down. Some of them are crazy, crazy bad. But it might be a little golden nugget in here. So the first one I looked at, I jotted down, was the KC Corral.
No.
Yeah, I know. Because I looked at what a corral was. It was like a little wall or something. Like, I don't know. So, yeah. Then I thought of the Great Barrier Chiefs.
Stop it. I'm going full on Vince Carter. It's over,
ladies and gentlemen.
It's done.
Do you not like that? The Great Barrier Chief. Stop saying it.
I don't want anymore.
What's wrong with that?
No, that's amazing.
That is good, isn't it?
That's amazing. That's it. I'm saying it's over. I don't even want to hear the other ones. That is amazing. Oh,
Patrick, Great Barrier Chiefs.
Patrick Mahomes behind the Great Barrier Chiefs.
You can just hear Mitch saying it now, can't you? You can.
Oh, my God.
And I've got one on here, but I think this might have already been mentioned. I'm not sure, but correct me if I'm wrong. If anybody has brought this up before, correct me if obviously let me know. But the Department of Mahomesland Security.
Well, that's clearly a mouthful, so that's a no.
Yeah, the Department of Mahomesland Security. I can't even say it now. Mm. And then I got into my favorite ones. Now, I've looked in one of them, which is called Ministry of Velocity.
No.
No, and I found out it was actually a games company somewhere, so I can't use that.
No, you're going to have to stay well to top Great Barrier Chiefs.
Great Barrier Chiefs. Well, to top that. Then, this is my favourite, the Ministry of Security.
No.
No?
No, I'm not a massive fan of the word ministry.
Ministry, no?
Yeah.
No, so you don't even like the Ministry of Artillery, no?
No.
No? Okay.
No. That's an anti-climax, isn't it?
It was a bit of an anti-climax, actually, yeah. Yeah, it was a bit, yeah.
Like this show early.
but I also thought it would be a bit of a British connection. Now, there's a theory behind this one as well.
Okay.
And it's quite Chiefsy when you think about it.
Okay.
The Red Arrows.
Nah.
Because they fly in formation.
Yeah, I get it, but no.
Arrows, Chiefs, Arrowhead, no. Not liking that. And like, now looked
it. It'd be like the Oregon Ducks calling their offensive line the Flying V, wouldn't it? Like,
Yeah.
We'll put it to a vote. Put it in the comments. Give us a 5-star review if you like the show, and let us know your favourite nickname. But it has to be Great Barrier Chiefs. That's amazing. That's amazing. I can just see
Great
it.
Barrier Chiefs.
I can just see it now. I can see it now.
What you're saying is I should trademark it now. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, do it in the States this time.
Let us know at the Arrowhead Pride Twitter page or Facebook page, and let us know which is your favourite. Clearly, we know what Tom's favourite is. Anyway, let's have a quick break out of that, mate. After all that excitement,
yeah.
We'll be back soon, and we'll be discussing obviously the schedule, the primetime picks that we or the guesses that we'll be picking for primetime games, and obviously Aaron Rodgers going to the Denver Broncos possibly. Welcome back to the Great British Chiefs Show with myself, Brad Simcox, and Tom Childs. Hope you enjoyed the first half of the show, which was, it was very up and down, wasn't it, mate?
Yeah, a bit of a roller coaster. We went full on Mick Hucknall there. It wasn't Mick Hucknall at all. It was Simply Red did in the video. But Americans, by the way, will not have a clue what
are you talking about.
But I kind of get that when I listen to some American podcasts and they start talking about music, it all goes over my head. But anyways, I didn't mean to talk about Mick Hucknall. I meant to talk about Ronan Keating. Like, the first part of the show was a bit of a roller coaster, wasn't it?
Yes, it was, mate. We got there in the end.
Yeah, we did. I apologise for that really obscure reference, by the way, anyone in Kansas City. I really apologise.
Very British reference there, mate.
Yeah.
All right, let's... obviously, the schedule is going to be coming out on Wednesday next week.
Mm-hmm.
And we're really looking forward to it because it means that we can plan a lot of things as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're really looking forward to getting some venues booked as well with the UK Chiefs fans over here. But... as we're looking at the schedule, we're going to be looking at what we think is going to be the primetime games. Now, we originally thought we were just going to choose three primetime games that we thought that were going to happen as part of the schedule. But are we going to push for like 6 or 7, do you think?
I think so, because I think it's inevitable that the Chiefs are going to be playing in at least 6 primetime games.
Like, of course.
With the addition of the 17th game, it's also opened up another TV slot. So now the NFL has increased the amount of primetime games that each club can have from 6 to 7. And Mahomes being the biggest prize of them all in American football, I think it's inevitable that he will be playing on primetime 7 times. So I think...
I would say that.
Let's see if we can hazard a guess and see if we can get all 7. I think we can.
Yeah.
I think we can. There's a couple of teams where maybe not, but I think with stadiums opening and et cetera, yeah, et cetera, I think this is going to be a semi-easy thing to predict.
All right. Let's have a look at the schedule then. So let's have a look. So do you want to go through them all each by... Or are we just going to pick the 3 that we think, or the 6 or 7?
Pick the 3 each. We can't sit here and go through 17 games. We just can't do that.
No.
People have lives. We need to send them on their merry way. We can't sit here through 17 games. It's just... I'll go first with one.
Go on, then.
Okay. And the first one is going to be the Dallas Cowboys at Arrowhead. Patrick Mahomes versus Dak Prescott. The money quarterback game. Dak Prescott's obviously been injured. He's coming back. Cowboys should be a better team because of his return. He got his big contract in the offseason. Patrick Mahomes got his big contract in the offseason before. I just think it's inevitable because the rest of the NFC East is pretty meh. Like, it's like good teams in it. Like, Washington are an okay team. But in terms of like flash in the pan, this is the matchup. I don't think you're going to get New York Giants versus the Chiefs. I don't think you're going to get Washington football team versus the Chiefs. I don't think you're going to get Philadelphia Eagles, even with the Andy Reid connection. I don't think that's going to happen. So I do predict an NFC East clash, and I do predict that it's going to be Kansas City versus the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. Well, I'm actually going to choose, and I can't believe I'm going to choose this because I've been lambasting them for a long time. Cleveland Browns at Arrowhead Stadium.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
Exactly.
Like,
it brought one of the best like postseason games last year, didn't it?
Of course, yeah.
You know, right down to the death. You know, it was Baker Mayfield versus Patrick Mahomes. Such a tight game. You know, there was a big. Big game to win as well, wasn't it, for either of those teams?
Chad Henne, all that.
Exactly. You know, why wouldn't you want to watch that again? And especially the improvement that I think Cleveland Browns have made, especially in the draft this year as well.
Yeah,
they're going to be a team to watch. And I honestly think that the Browns are going to be one of those teams that we're going to meet quite often because of the Baker Mayfield and Mahomes connection.
Yeah.
So I think the Browns is definitely going to be one of those primetime games. It doesn't sound primetime.
Like, in terms of eyesore, it's a horrible matchup because those uniforms do not go well against each other in any way, shape, or form. And they should not be given the prime time, the red versus orange look. Oh. But in terms of what you're actually going to see, brilliant. Baker Mayfield, Patrick Mahomes, the Browns, like all these young AFC quarterbacks, they're going to want to push them as much as, because it is the future, isn't it? The future of the league is in the AFC quarterback. So yeah, I'm all for it. I agree. Right. My second one, Los Angeles Chargers.
The Chargers?
In Los Angeles, because okay. They've got the brand new stadium. And actually, I'm going to say one more thing. I think it was just a bold prediction. That will be our season opener on Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
That's what I'm predicting. Monday Night Football season opener, Los Angeles Chargers opening their stadium with fans, opening it properly rather, to fans, Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes. Pwah, take that.
Again, it's like what we've seen, quarterbacks of the future. That's what they're going to be going for, isn't it?
Exactly.
Justin Herbert, yeah, I can see that. Actually, when you first said it, I thought the Chargers of old, and I thought, oh God, here we go again. We're going to be opening up against the Chargers. I can see it. Yeah, I can see that. And I think, again, Chargers are ones to watch, especially in the AFC West.
I hate the fact that we've fallen victim to this, but
yeah.
The off-season Chargers hype is real. It is a real thing. And like every single year, you get analysts, the Chargers are going to win the AFC West this year. And whilst I won't go that far, I do think they're going to be a really good team. And we will have podcasts where we will go into and we'll break down every single team, what we think of them. But right now, Justin Herbert is like, he's legit. He really is legit. And they're going to be a good team. And I think the NFL would be fools not to put Herbert versus Mahomes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I'm trying to think what I put now. Buffalo Bills.
Same formula.
Again.
It's a really boring podcast, isn't it?
It is actually, yeah. Without actually realizing it, we're all going, do you know what? It's the young quarterbacks of the future that are going to get the primetime games. Mm. But I'm going to go a little bit further off piece with that, with my third pick. But I'll come to that in a minute. But yeah, the Bills, I mean, again, they're one of those up-and-coming teams. They're exciting to watch. They've got a great offense. Two offenses together like that on the field is going to be dynamite. I can just feel like it's going to be a dynamite kind of game. And as well, there's going to be a lot riding on it because of what happened in the playoffs between the Chiefs last year. It's going to be an exciting matchup. And
they're going to want revenge, really, aren't they? Because they kind of got their backsides handed to them by the Chiefs twice. Like the Chiefs didn't really get out of second gear last year when playing. Yeah. And playing the Bills. And so that must have been embarrassing for them because they've been tipped all season to be the challenger to the Chiefs. And then when it got to the AFC Championship game, they didn't really put up any
fight. They didn't.
It was an even easier game than the Titans the year before. It was such a nothing contest by halftime that the Bills won't have enjoyed how their season ended, and they will be out for revenge because, again, the Chiefs are the team with the target on their back in the AFC.
Yeah, exactly that. What's your third pick, mate?
Do you know what? I'm going to let you go because I think we're going to go for these two teams for the exact same reason.
Yeah.
And I think it's been a bit of a talking point
Yeah.
In the last few days.
I've gone with the Green Bay Packers. Surprise, yeah, surprise.
My theory was correct. Yeah.
Green Bay Packers. Everybody wants to see, and it seems like the NFL's trying to shoehorn it, as you said in the previous show, shoehorn it into the fans that we've got to have a Mahomes versus Rodgers matchup. Yeah. Now, that leads us kind of swiftly on to the last section of this show. Mm-hmm. What is actually going to happen with Rodgers? Because are we going to have that matchup at all?
The question is, are we going to get Aaron Rodgers versus Kansas City or versus Mahomes with Rodgers in a Green Bay uniform? Are we going to get Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers with Aaron Rodgers in a Denver uniform, which means we get that twice? Yeah. Or are we not going to get it at all? Or are we just, if we want our helping of Aaron Rodgers, are we going to have to like tune into Jeopardy? Like that's the big questions. Like I'm not going to lie. I've done some crossing into enemy territory this week and I've been listening to some Denver Broncos based podcasts.
Oh, they're excited.
And they are convinced. Like I tell you, they are convinced it's going to happen. They've got so much faith in John Elway to get it done because of the history of them going after big ticket quarterbacks. And that honestly, they are beyond themselves in excitement. And I understand why, because the Denver Broncos are a loaded team. And adding Aaron Rodgers to that would be a really bad thing for the Chiefs. Like, as everyone says, oh, we've got Mahomes, we shouldn't be scared of Aaron Rodgers. But we really want those bye week. We need that bye week. It's like such a big deal now to be the first seed in the AFC. Yes, Aaron Rodgers might come to the division and we might win the AFC West. But there's a good chance we wouldn't get the first seed because look at the Bills division, for example. Mm-hmm. They're going to be able to beat up on their division all year. It's improved, but they should be able to beat up on their division. And if you've got one loss to Aaron Rodgers, you've got one loss to Justin Herbert, all of a sudden the chances of getting that bye decrease quite quickly. And so I just feel like, yes, the challenge would be great, but why not just have an easy route to the playoffs? Like, why does it have to be hard? Why do we need Mahomes to prove himself? Because no one cares when you've got that ring on your finger.
Like, exactly.
No one cares. No one cares about a cupcake schedule during the regular season. So why not have it easy? And so the last thing we want as Chiefs fans is Aaron Rodgers coming to the division. I don't think it will happen, personally. I don't think the Packers will allow it to happen. I don't know how this plays out, whether it's Aaron Rodgers retiring, Aaron Rodgers getting a massive contract, the Packers trading away Jordan Love. Like I don't know how it happens, but I just don't think the Packers organization can get away with trading Aaron Rodgers 6 months after an MVP season. It's not like Brett Favre wasn't an MVP when they traded him, and Aaron Rodgers had proven a lot more than, say, Jordan Love had when he was coming in. It's like people say the similarities. Yes, there are similarities, but it's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah. He, like, Aaron Rodgers had snaps. Aaron Rodgers was more proven of a college player than Jordan Love. And Brett Favre wasn't an MVP. So I think there would be a riot in Green Bay if they do trade away Aaron Rodgers. And that's the main reason I don't think it's going to happen. But if it does happen, please don't let it happen that he goes to Denver, because I can't be dealing with that.
It's been quite a messy affair, really, hasn't it? Everything's all the dirty laundry's been aired in public. And I think I read somewhere as well that, Rodgers can't even retire. He can't threaten to retire because apparently he would owe the Packers something like $28 million.
No, that doesn't mean anything to him. Yes, he can.
Exactly. He's got things lined up, hasn't he?
He's made like $200 million or something crazy, and he can afford that. If he wants
$28 million, man.
Does Aaron Rodgers really come across as the type of guy that would let him bother him? I just don't. I don't know.
It's a lot of, even with $200 million in the bank, $28 million is a big chunk of cheese that you don't want to be losing. But the way it's been played out, there's obviously a lot of animosity there that nobody can get away from, and there seems to be leaked comments about, Zoom calls and name calling. And it just seems very messy.
My quarterback would never do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Mine wouldn't.
Exactly. Our quarterback would never do that. Yeah. But it just seems as though it's the end of the road, doesn't it? It already seems like it's the end of the road. There's no way back from this.
I don't. I think there is a way back, and I do think the way back is him staying in Green Bay and getting paid a hell of a lot of money.
Really?
When push comes to shove, I think the Packers will make the right decision and choose Aaron Rodgers over Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I think they've got to. They have to. They simply have to. They can't. Yeah. They're contenders right now. They're contenders. The NFC is weak. If they trade away Aaron Rodgers and have Jordan Love, that's it. They're not contenders this year.
Yeah.
Why not? Like in the NFC, what you've got, like two or three teams, maybe? It's not as stacked as the AFC. It just doesn't make sense. But just in case it does happen, just in case, I've picked the Denver Broncos on the road as one of the primetime games.
Oh, have you now?
Just in case.
Sneaky. Just in case.
And I do think that the NFL are going to hedge their bets. And the TV networks, and one of them is going to gobble that game up and put it on Prime.
It'll be the wrong game.
Just in case. Like, they could be getting Teddy Bridgewater versus Patrick Mahomes, but at the same time, they could be getting Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers. So, yeah, I've gone for the Broncos away. Which leaves us one slot, Brad. One slot.
Is it?
There's some games here that you think, surely that's got to go into it. Lamar Jackson versus Patrick Mahomes. That makes sense. Andy Reid going back to Philadelphia, that there's an argument to be made for that. Steelers coming to Arrowhead, there's an argument to be made for that. But that's not the game I'm going for. I'm going for the Las Vegas Raiders versus the Chiefs in Las Vegas on Thanksgiving. That's what I'm going for. I'm going for
Thanksgiving
that
game.
Yeah, Thanksgiving. Overdue a Thanksgiving game, by the way, the Chiefs.
We are actually, yeah.
So, I'm going for that. Which means, obviously, the Baltimore Ravens game won't be on primetime. But I've got a prediction for that game as well. I think CBS will protect that game. And then that one, the 9:25 games later in the season that they protect. They've done it before. They've protected games. I think they protected Patriots versus Chiefs a couple of seasons ago, the Super Bowl year. Yeah, it was the game when all the baggage was late.
The
Chiefs almost had to play in their pants and vests like that game.
When Belichick re-diverted the plane.
Exactly.
But yeah, I'm convinced it was him.
Yeah, I've got the seven, and I'm fairly confident about our seven games.
Yeah, I would say so. I think you're right. I think the Raiders has got to be one of those games because, you know, week five champions against the Super Bowl Super Bowl runners up. It's going to be a bit of a mouth-watering matchup, isn't it?
100%, yeah.
Sorry about that.
I don't think many Raiders fans listen to this show, so that's fine.
Don't you believe it? I bet they do. I'll know a few. They're always in my mentions. Right then, I think that's everything we've got time for this week, mate. It's been a pleasure this week. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah,
I think it's been one of our best shows so far.
If I must blow my own trumpet, then I agree.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, I mean, if anybody's got to the end of this, fair play to them. So if you've enjoyed the show, please give us a review. A lovely 5-star review would be fantastic. If you want more content, there's other shows available on the Arrowhead Pride Network, and we'll be back again a week on Saturday. And all that's left to say is, from one kingdom to another, we'll speak to you again soon.